Coming up next, are Mr. Beast, the YouTube sensation, and Joe Rogan right about work? And then, fake social media profiles and how it could be duping you. And of course, we're going to coach you up. It all starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work so that you can win at life. You cannot separate your work life and your personal life. If you try, it's going to end up catching you. And we are all about purpose. You living out your why at work so that you can be the best you in your personal life. Fulfill that why at home. More money, more meaning. Let's go. So, fun show tease today, right? Some of you are going, who's Mr. Beast? Well, I said the same thing recently. I don't spend a lot of time on the old YouTube. I really don't. Glad to be on it every day. Hi, everybody watching live on YouTube, later on YouTube. It's fantastic. I love YouTube. It's great. I just don't have a whole lot of time to spend watching YouTube. I just don't. I don't have a lot of time to watch TV either, so I don't. So anyway, Mr. Beast is this kid who, I call him a kid because he's a kid, who has created this wildly popular YouTube channel, and then he's on all platforms. Over 200 million subscribers on all the different social profiles. And it's basically just a fun channel, right? They do fun stuff, challenges, all types of things, gives away money for crazy things. It's just super entertaining stuff. And it's great. By all accounts, he seems to be a decent human being. Well, obviously, he's figured it out, and he's a big stinking deal. All right? He's one of the biggest YouTubers there are. And by the way, you can't look down your nose at that anymore. More on that in a moment. So he goes on Joe Rogan's podcast, which Joe Rogan's the number one podcast in the world. Okay? Not former, stand-up comedian by trade. I remember first learning about Joe Rogan when he hosted Fear Factor, which I thought to be one of the great show concepts of all time. If you can watch TV and you're glued to the television and also disgusted to the point that you try not to throw up on your living room couch, we've got a concept here. And that's what Fear Factor was. Pretty fantastic stuff. So now he's a very popular podcaster. And so he had this young guy, Mr. Beast, this YouTube sensation, on his show recently. And they're talking about how he got where he got. You know, he wasn't a good student, a little bit of context, you know. And they're talking a little bit about kind of the pre-success on YouTube. And I want you to watch just a small portion. So for our listening audience, you got to lean in here and listen. For our viewing audience, you can actually watch the conversation. Guys in the control room, be warned. If I say pause, we're going to pause. Because this is a fascinating conversation that I think you need to hear. What do they say about work? There's some conversation about school. Uh-oh. Let's get right to it. Here's Mr. Beast and Joe Rogan talking.
The thing is, it's like nobody saw this coming.
No one. Like, people would have bet $1 million that I wouldn't be a YouTuber. You know, it makes no sense. But I just, like, I have, you know, hyper obsession, and I love this.
Pause. And, you know. Pause. All right, first thing. He's saying, obviously, nobody saw it. His parents didn't predict it. He didn't predict it. But I want you to focus in on hyper obsession. You're about ready to hear that a few more times in this conversation. And this is the key. He had a hyper obsession. All right, let's keep rolling.
Oh, you give it enough time, anyone can solve it.
Well, there's a lesson in that for people, really. Like, to just, if you do have a hyper obsession to something, there's a lot of people that think that because they're bad at school or because they're not interested in school, that they're destined to be a loser.
Pause. Yeah. And that's not. Joe Rogan is absolutely right here. And let's just talk about what's behind this. He's absolutely right. And this is because culture has created this massive assembly line mentality, as we know K through 12 school to be. That's what it is. Now, some of you are going, good grief, Ken, really? You're going to bang on K through 12 education? No. Have enough stinking maturity, hear what I'm telling you. Joe Rogan is right. If you disagree, that's fine. But he's right. The reason I know he's right, because I was one of those kids. I did not excel academically. And I felt this real pressure from my parents, who I love, Mom and Dad. If you're watching, I love you. It's not your fault. You are a product of culture. Moms, dads are products of the culture. And I remember hearing years later that because I was a straight C student, and I was, that my dad went and met with a man who became like a second father to me and said, I'm worried about him. Not because of my behavior at home or at school, but because I was a straight C student. There's nothing wrong with my dad. I'm not banging on my dad. I'm just going to always keep it very real with you folks, because I don't care if I make you uncomfortable. In fact, in a good way, I always want to make you uncomfortable. There are millions and millions of kids just in the United States alone who fight insecurity and doubt all because they aren't the assembly line student. My brother was the assembly line student. I'm not taking anything away from my brother. My brother is way more talented than me. He is. He's a better athlete. He was a better student. Guy can fix a car. He can go hunt and kill something and skin it. I can't do any of that. My brother is more talented than me. But as a result of my brother being very, balanced in his talent, he was a great student. Straight A's. Every subject. My brother and people like my brother excel in the assembly line world of education. 30 kids in a room. We all hear the same lecture. We all get the same study guide. And we all get the same amount of time on the test. It's not working. Kids like me. Kids like you. Some of you are parenting kids like this. And there's this big fight to help them see how valuable they are, all because they aren't straight A students. And then they end up wandering through life thinking that they're losers. It's got to stop. Academic achievement is not the only way to determine someone's future. Let's keep rolling.
Not true. You can. The problem is school is too rigid. Like regular public school system, sit down, underpaid teacher, disinterested, yep. Not really connected with the work. You're not connected with it. You just can't wait to go home and do what you like to do.
Exactly.
And you get this thought in your head like, oh my God, I'm going to be a loser.
I thought I was just like, just didn't even know how to speak. Like literally, I just couldn't hold a conversation with a single person because people would just tell me all you talk about is YouTube. And I would try to talk about something else. But back then I was so hyper obsessed. I literally just didn't know how to.
But what were you obsessed about? Were you obsessed about other channels, your channel?
Everything from like learning how to editing, the pacing of the videos, like ideas, what's going viral, what's trending, what's hot. Especially back then I had no idea what worked. I mean, I had to like self-teach myself everything, even, you know, frame rate on cameras, coloring of the video, just stuff like that.
Did you catch that right there? Did you catch that? I had to self-teach myself everything. He taught himself in an area of hyper-obsession. Coming up next, if you've never heard me teach this, or maybe you've heard me but it never clicked, I'm going to reveal the way for you to figure out your hyper-obsession and then how to teach yourself to do that. Don't miss it. It's coming up next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Colbert Show. So, Mr. Beast and Joe Rogan did get it right. They did get it right. Schools are not set up for kids to be creative. It has become about memorization and regurgitation. That's what school is right now. Now, this is going to step on some toes, but for those of you that are getting really antsy or getting offended by this, understand I've talked to teachers recently, consistently. I'm talking to teachers who are ready to quit, pull their hair out. And I ran all this stuff by them. Alex, I was really excited about that too. I was like, you know what? I'm not sure it's going to change my opinion, but let me just see if teachers agree with what I'm saying. And they all agreed with me. The very people that love to instruct are being driven out of the system because they agree with me that it is all about, one teacher said, we teach for the test. That's it. So that tells me that it is about memorization and regurgitation. Watch, it's not about imagination and inspiration. Can we just park there for just a second? What is knowledge if it's not imagination and inspiration? Why teach anybody knowledge about anything in the world if it is not to inspire them to be able to use it and to imagine how to grow it? That's the whole deal. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein, go down the list of the world's most admired inventors. Ben Franklin, if the story's true, and I just gotta believe it's true, Ben Franklin is inspired by the concept of electricity. So he was not the first person to think of electricity, but he's inspired by the knowledge that electricity is a thing. And then because he's inspired by the knowledge of it, watch what happens. He begins to imagine, how could we harness it? So what does he do? He puts a key on the string of a kite, goes out like a lunatic in the middle of a thunderstorm, and discovers that electricity can be conducted. Thomas Edison, lights, Henry Ford, automobile. Go down the list. So we have a problem in our education system. And here's what it's doing. That problem I just defined is producing people who think in the form of taking a test. They don't ask questions anymore. Uh-oh, here's the big reveal. They answer questions. But the problem is when you forget how to ask, or you almost get reprogrammed to just, well, I got to score good on the interview, right? The job interview becomes a test. Well, wait a second. How do we even know if it's the right job? I'm going to tell you. You were created very uniquely. Everybody that's listening and watching to me right now, listen to me. You have a unique combination of talent, things that you do best. You have passion, something, a type of work in a role or a task that when you think about it, you get excited. And when you participate in it or perform it, time stands still. You're willing to suffer rejection. You're willing to suffer patience. You're willing to suffer failure to do it. That was broadcasting for me. Passion. And then the final piece is mission. A sense of longing to contribute. I want to contribute, or you could use the word produce, specific results in the world. That's human. The most confused callers we've ever had on this show will say to me, I don't know what I want to do, Ken. I just know I want to help people. Joe, how many times have we heard that phrase?
So many. I don't know.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. How is that possible that people from all corners of the world literally call this show? Those that are most confused will come down to one statement and they all say it the same way. I just want to help people. How is that possible? You know, no one has to teach us to want to make a contribution. Nobody has to teach a kid, a toddler, to say no the first time. Parents know it's coming, but it always seems to be shocking. That little kid can't say one word in the English language. The first one they say, no. You don't have to teach a kid to say no. You know what else you don't have to teach a kid or an adult to do? Is to wonder about what they want to do with their life. Because we're souls. That's the spirit in us. We long to connect, to contribute to others. That is a form of relationship. So you know why I want to talk about all the time, every day I talk about, we help you win at work, win at life. You can't separate your work life and your personal life, because in our personal life, everybody goes, yeah, of course, Ken, I want to connect. I want to contribute to my wife or to my kids and all things. Oh, of course. Wait a second. The same relational being in family is the same relational being in work. We long to contribute, to connect to people. Even the programmer who hates talking to people can see a connection between the code and people. So talent plus passion plus mission equals purpose. You must know your why before you can determine the where. Watch. When I know my why, okay, I was created to use these talents to do this work that I love, to produce these results that connect to my values. Now I go, okay, this is why I work. Not just a paycheck. I work to create these results through this work using these talents. There it is on the screen. Look at that. And watch what just happened. You see that? For those of you that aren't watching, we've got an arrow. The three components of the arrow: talent, passion, mission. The final piece of the arrow, the pointing to the world at work, is purpose. I know why I work. Now watch. Once I know why I work, I can begin to look for where I can work. And where I work allows us to simply do the what. What kind of work? So it's why, where, and what. And we find it all by simply listening to ourselves. And Mr. Beast, tying this all back in, is going, I had a hyper obsession with YouTube. Now, listen, to be really honest, as a parent, I have to fight that. If I'm Mr. Beast's mom, that's kind of a funny thing to say, and I see the kid always wanting to be on YouTube all the time, maybe I'm a little concerned. I get it. I'm not banging on parents. But you parents, you got to be able to go, okay, he's spending too much time on YouTube. He needs to do his homework. Yes. He needs to clean his room. Yes. But why does he love YouTube? That's the clue for us individually, for parents, for teachers, professors, leaders. Why does someone light up when they light up? Why? This is not complex, but you got to have the courage to be okay with the why. That means individually. Ken, I've always been an accountant. My dad was an accountant. I went to school, got an accounting degree. I don't want to be an accountant. I want to coach people. Okay. Why do you want to coach people? And they begin to tell you, here's where it gets scary. That means I got to pivot. That means I may have to learn a whole new skill set. I got to get qualified. And folks, I'm not making fun of this fear. I'm just telling you it's real. This is what happens inside of us. So let me just tell you something. Diving into your why is not for the faint of heart. Parents, diving into your kids' why is not for the faint of heart. But they are who they are. You want to talk about massive relationship issues? You want to talk about drugs and alcohol, affairs, just anything you can think of that distracts people and wrecks their life? Those are distractions because they haven't found their purpose. Just going to tell you. Discover what you do best, talent. Discover what work you love to do, passion. Discover what mission you want to accomplish, and you're going to find your purpose. Go to kencoleman.com if that's something you want. Get the Get Clear Career Assessment and the book From Paycheck to Purpose, The Compass, The Guide Up the Mountain. Go. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. A couple of dudes in the YouTube chat room are asking about my new Yeti. Thank you very much, guys. Grant Lowry says, Ken, when is the Ken Coleman Yeti dropping? No plans to make this a product. This is exclusive to me and the team. And debt-free with Mr. E says, I love that it's laser engraved. There you go. Love the new Yeti. Think I'll have a sip right now. Joe hates when I do that. He hates that too. Hey, the job search can be filled with long, lonely hours on the computer and countless attempts to get noticed by employers. And my friends at ZipRecruiter get this. They get the emotions you're dealing with. And you don't want to be alone. When you feel alone, guess what happens? You get discouraged and you quit the search. That's why ZipRecruiter's artificial intelligence does so much of the work for you. They save you time by sending you jobs that you can apply to with just one click out of their profile. And they pitch you to employers when you're just doing whatever it is you're doing during the day. So if you want to stand out from the competition, you need to feel the love from my friends at ZipRecruiter. Sign up for free at ZipRecruiter.com. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Don't forget, fabulous story in the news we got to get to. But first, we're going to go to Tony in literally my old stomping grounds where I grew up. About 15, 20 minutes from where I grew up, Suffolk, Virginia. Tony is on the line. Tony, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm living the dream. What's going on?
Okay, so to give you a 30,000-foot view, I've been a high school Spanish teacher for 7 years, and frustration with the way things are going now, as well as this not being what I envisioned myself doing, you know, when I was growing up, I wish to leave this profession and transfer over into cybersecurity. So
great.
I've gotten the CompTIA Security Plus certification. I've been studying different little, you know, penetration testing tools and things like that on my own. And I've rewritten my resume dozens of times. I've sent out literally hundreds of applications on Indeed, LinkedIn, USA Jobs, and what have you, even Monster.com and so on and so forth. And I just can't seem to get an interview. Even I've had times where I'm talking to relatives of people I work with, trying to network and, you know, get a recommendation, you know, on my application when I go to apply for a company maybe that person used to work for. Still struggle to get to the interviewing phase. So I just called your show for you to just give me some advice on what I'm doing wrong and what haven't I considered and how I need to re-strategize.
So what is your process? Give me the super, super simple description. What's your process for submitting resumes and getting interviews? What are you doing? What all is involved?
Okay, so I have a resume that I have written that's geared towards project management jobs. I have a resume I've written that's geared more towards cybersecurity jobs, each with different keywords and search terms and things like that on there, different purpose statements. I send in the application. After I read the job posting to make sure that this is something that I have the qualifications for or that I have a transferable skill to. So I read the application. I submit my resume, sometimes a cover letter, and, you know, a PDF copy of my certifications in with the actual job application itself. And then after that, I just wait and, you know, for the updated status.
There's the answer to the question. You are playing the job lottery. You ever been in a casino before, Tony? It's okay if you have. It's not a bad thing.
I never have. I'm not really one to gamble.
Have you ever seen a television show or movie where there's like an old person sitting on a what's happening all of a sudden? Okay. We got feedback. All right. Have you ever seen an old lady sitting at a slot machine just sitting there putting in quarters and pulling the you've seen this, right?
Yes.
That's what you're doing. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just telling you. You are doing the same thing those old ladies do. They sit there, they put the quarter in, they pull the lever, and they sit back and hope they hit jackpot. That's what you're doing. By the way, that's what most people do. So there's nothing wrong with you, Tony. What you're doing is wrong. Because from what I can understand, you are qualified for a position or multiple positions in cybersecurity. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You need connections. I wrote an entire book on this concept called The Proximity Principle, an entire book. I covered it in the latest book, From Paycheck to Purpose, where I unveil the 7 stages to get you, Tony, where you want to be in your work life. Stage 3 is get connected. So the first stage is get clear. Tony, you presented beautifully at the start of the call. You're clear you want to move from teaching to cybersecurity. What's stage 2? Get qualified. You've already gotten qualified. You're breaking down at stage 3 because you're not getting connected. It is when we get connected that opportunities present themselves to us to then walk into stage 4 and get started. So the proximity principle says in order to do what Tony wants to do, cybersecurity, he's got to be around people that are in cybersecurity. He's got to be in places where there are cybersecurity positions or training or special interest groups or whatever, whatever. Why? Because when I'm around the right people and in the right places, opportunities present themselves to me. Does that make sense to you fundamentally?
It does. May I add something here?
Sure.
Yes. So I did find some groups on LinkedIn to join. And I've, you know, put out inquiries and asked for a little bit of advice as far as that is concerned, you know. And even then, I'm still finding it difficult.
Yes. Here's to get why.
Started. So, what's here's your why. Recommended next step?
Yeah. So here's why. LinkedIn is about information, not connection. Stop connecting with people via the LinkedIn platform. Everybody's on that platform for themselves. Can I just tell you? They're on that platform for themselves. They're not there for you. So if I can find their contact information, real-world contact information, not LinkedIn, and then I can try to reach out to them. That's the first thing. The second thing is you, through your acquaintances, friends, and family members in Suffolk, know plenty of people to be able to find somebody who works in these companies that you've been applying to, and you got to have lunch, do phone calls, Zoom calls. You got to get somebody to vouch for you and take your resume in, and this seems so old school, folks, but it works. You still have to apply online, but you to get an interview, you got to get noticed. And Tony, what's going wrong with you is you're not getting noticed. Hang on the line. I want to give him a copy of The Proximity Principle, which is really a deep dive into stage three, get connected. I want to give him the book. Tony, read the book and do exactly what I tell you to do. And you'll watch connections, folks, turn into opportunities. All right, I got to get this. Speaking of LinkedIn, it's time for In the News. All right, so this is a fun story that caught our team's attention. This is from NPR. Listen to this. They profile a lady by the name of Renee, who one day she gets a LinkedIn message. It seems very normal, and it's from somebody named Keenan Ramsey. Let's put that up on there. We got a picture of this person's profile. Now, look at Keenan. Lovely lady. Seems very nice. Nothing sketchy about Keenan right there. I see nothing sketchy. And so this Keenan person right there, you can see on the screen, for our listening audience, here's what happens. Keenan sends a message to Renee. Hey, quick question. Have you ever considered or looked into a unified approach to message, video, and phone on any device? Seems like a normal message. Well, DiResta looked for whatever reason at that profile and zoned in a little bit. Now let's throw that other image back up there. And here's what she noticed. She said it kind of seemed fake. Bits of her hair disappeared. She only had one earring on, and that just didn't seem like a normal headshot. Well, it turns out she dives in a little deeper. She and her colleague at Stanford Internet Observatory created an investigation that uncovered more than 1,000 fake LinkedIn profiles that are all artificial intelligence. Some computers creating a fake person. It's not even a real face that they're ripping off. It's fascinating. And so companies are now doing this. They're using other companies like this to put all these fake profiles out to increase their online sales. Except companies say they didn't know that bots were being created. I don't know if I believe that. So here's the deal. According to AI experts, AI-generated faces have become indistinguishable, what a word, from real faces. People have a 50% chance of guessing correctly. Here's my point about all of this, and I said it to our last caller. Don't just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Let's see if they're a real person. Make them connect. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show.
Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges. And I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.